May 4, 2022, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomuradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 86, Ayah 6, man from a drop emitted. 40 Hadith, page 25. 84, charity sex. Now, what is sexual intercourse? An urge. So you have an urge and then you go and you make urges. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's urges. Under the urge, what happens? Spontaneous burst, right? So you don't know when it is going to burst, right? And from the first spontaneous burst, what happens? It rests itself in the dark and become a clot. It goes from water to blood after it rests. The Quran Surah 86, Ayat 6 to 7, man created from a fluid sprout. Genesis 2, 21 to 23, Eve from rib of Adam. So the gushing fluid comes with forcefulness. That's the intellect. And when you have a challenge, the intellect is forceful, it comes with power. The ribs are flexible bone protecting the vital organs, symbolic of care, compassion. The ability of the individual to be flexible, not rigid. God also says we've been created from between a ridge column and from a flexible one. When we find a balance between the two. Don't be too agreeable. Don't be extremely rigid. That's intelligent. Don't be too rigid coming in here, forcing your ideas. Many are a rib that broke connection with the column, like the curved rib and the straight backbone. So the mind is straight and it can bend. It is also devious, exclusive, stubble, clever. God is saying he made you to be clever, able to throw curves, but check it with truth. Don't use tactics unless it's for justice's sake. And if you can prove yourself honorable, if you are caught. If I have an enemy, am I just going to use the spinal column? God says use your intelligence in a way that you benefit from both. The stubbornness of the intellect and the straightness. The Quran Surah 23, Ayah 14, God created fetus lump, then another creation. The Quran Surah 86, Ayah 6 to 7, man emitted from a fluid. 1 John 5, 6, come as water and blood. So this shows the progress for this life. And we are looking at it objectively as concrete physical matter, something our five senses can perceive or detect readily. The Quran says, then he clothes with flesh. Thumma khalaqan akhira, another progression, another creation for it. So these are the two creations. God is saying, after you are formed physically, you are not complete, that you have to undergo another progression, another series of steps in development And the second progression will be similar to the first. It will be the progression really on the first. So the watery substance will be progress. Your spiritual will be progress, and you become new creatures in your spiritual life. The spiritual means your life expressed in through material. So the water is the basis of life, your sensitivity and your nature to form spiritual bonds. Don't think of revelation every time you say spiritual, no. Every time you hear spiritual, think firstly of your own nature. And spiritual for the human only means life expressed in the material. Your life expressed in and through the material, that is what we mean when we say spiritual. You love that it is spiritual, essential. All of your life has that makeup. Your true self is spiritual. You are not this body. You express yourself in this. This are what is being expressed in that. So you are what is using this instrument. This is your instrument. So you feel secure spiritually. You just like that. It's spiritual. That's nasty. Spiritual, that's clean. Spiritual. So your whole essential life, all of your life, that makes up you, your true self, is spiritual. The Quran, Surah 86, Ayah 7, man from between the backbone and the rib. Genesis 21 to 22, Eve made from Adam's rib. In the Bible, we are told a woman is made from the rib of the man. Here in the Quran, it says human being, not just man. The human person was made from a fluid that issued. Guruja, yakuruju means issued, come out from between the rib and the spine, or the backbone. So the rib goes all the way back to the backbone that came off of the spinal column. It is between the two. So that means where the connection is made back there. That is what we mean. That is where we are made from. So instead of saying that the woman is made from the rib of the man, it is saying that both of us, male and female, is made from the connection for the rib and the spinal column back there. It is not just the bone, but more importantly, it is the fluid. So the fluid back there are very delicate. You can get messed up in their brain from just a little damage back there. I understand that to mean that the female is made equal, and they are equally intelligent, not one a face born and the other chest born, or a Pakistani brother told me, a crooked born. He says, Brother Imam, you can't straighten a woman out. If you try to straighten the rib out, you will break it. I excused him. I said nothing. I didn't have the time. It couldn't have been said in a few words. I would have to keep him, and he wasn't worth the time. He's coming from Christianity, from the Bible. They say that the prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, said that the woman was made from the rib. I don't believe that. If he said that, then he's gone against the Quran. I don't believe that. The Quran, Surah 87, Ayat 1-5, Allah created, then gave proportion. He ordained laws, empowered the soul, gave you sense, moral sense, sensitivity to right and wrong. The moral sense is given to every creature, but that is not enough. At times, first we are giving nature. Then God evolved nature to sense balance, sense and proportion. Then he gives us conscience. So we become contentious. We are worried about right and wrong of things. And sometimes this isn't enough. It is a confused culture, environment. struggle, weep, moan for guidance. Then he blesses the prophet with Hudan, equal guidance. High Piper is the law, low cultural influence. So when you follow cultural influences of this society badly, blindly, the fad, music, they might be leading you. Like rats, dogs, no telling what your description might be. Cultural influences have the power to lead creatures on a low level. They can catch creatures on a low level and draw you. Pied Piper or the Piper are not only for rats, some snake blowers, and call out the animals. So when dope pushers approach you and ask you to sell dope for him, if you do it, he is the Pied Piper and you're the rat. You open up a record shop playing Shake the Booty and Do the Sperm and Worm, and you're the Pied Piper and you're the rat. The Quran, Surah 87, Ayat 1-3. Bukhari, page 1, Prophet Quran, Revelation, squeezed 3 times. Women, buried 5 raps, represent physical form and nature. John 4:18, women, 5 husbands. 5 senses represents our life. That's why when a woman is buried in Al-Islam, she is wrapped in 5 pieces of cloth because she represents the physical form and the nature that God created out of which all life must come, both male and female. Man buried 3 wraps, but when the male passes, they shroud him in 3 wraps. Prophet, 3 squeezes equal insight, buried 3 wraps. 1, sense. 2, reflection. 3, purpose. Then 4, insight. Look at the 5 manifests on a higher level. 5 in. Number 1, the flesh body. 2, the sensory body. 3, in the mind. Now 5 should go another distance. And the 5 that goes another distance, while we will be able to articulate, we will have 4 insight, we'll be able to see. And the angels pressed the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, 3 times. 1, he sensed it, I can't read. 2, he reflect on it, I can't read. 3, purpose. Then something else happened, and he began to read. What is that purpose? Man just doesn't want to feel bond. Man just don't want to see in the flesh. Man wants to know, what is this intended for? So what is the purpose? Man wants to see into the matter, not just on matter. So when we are able to see into things and understand their natural working, understand their purpose in the universe or in the universal order of things, we are men of science. So base 3, baseball, 3 bases get you to home plate. So when we know the purpose of a thing, then we are home. Knowing the purpose of a thing brings us home. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, then home. You have to go over 3 to get home. So you don't call home plate, 4th plate, or base. What does all this mean? Free of 3, how are you free of 3? When you know how to use that knowledge as God intended it to be used, then that knowledge is not mastering you. You are free of mastering or the weight of that knowledge. So baseball insight is from base. It's home base. Science burden and enslave man. It oppresses man, destroys man's human being. Why? Because he is not free. He is not free of it. He hasn't seen the purpose for it. But in the language of the baseball game, if he can come to the 3rd base and jump off of it, and get home, now he's at home with the knowledge of 1, the 1st place, second place, and third place in his hand. Now he can read. So man is a thinking creature. He reflects, but once you get insight, that's home. Insight will take him home. Because I can use the knowledge of insight to go and direct my life. The knowledge of insight is going to be corrected, the problem I have. If this is home, it is hell. The knowledge of insight will make it a home, right? Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm not looking at the world, but looking into it. Insight is what you need to manage your life. And if you don't have it, listen to those who got it. Some of us will have other principles that excel, and just because one has insight doesn't mean he's better than the other. Maybe the other has other principles that excel. But all of us must accept rational leadership, sound leadership, intelligent leadership. And men of insight are the best people to lead us. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Buried male, three raps. So the male symbol's three. What is it indicative of? It's indicative of the human urge in the male more than the female. Not that the female doesn't have this, but it is the male more than the female who goes out and achieves goals. The male leaves home, domestic life, domestic environment, and he goes out into the wilderness to conquer new territory, new horizons. That's the male factor, so he is going out. Going out is free. How do you get out? One, to get out, I have to rise above my gravity of my sensory body. Two, I have to have the rise. I have to rise above the gravity of my rational body. My own reasoning can hold me back. Three, I have to rise above my own insight. Because if I fix myself upon my own insight, that will do away with me. I become arrogant, too self-independent. Say I don't trust other people, thinking that myself is the whole world, right? So I have to even go beyond my insight. The Quran dictates how science is to be used. The Quran, Surah 87, Ayat 1, and he created. So when you get insight, you have power. But where is the guidance in the science by itself? No. The guidance is in revelation. So when I can see science and then respect revelation and use science and revelation dictate I should use it, respecting what God has revealed, putting my insight below and or beneath what God has revealed, then I have guidance. That is the fourth, the one, right? So get on this mark, get set, ready, go. And the only way we can go is with the Quran, with the Hudan, or the guidance. Kalika fasawa tadira fahada. Kalika fasawa kadira fahada. Insight is power. Kadira. Layla to kidra kairon min afi sahira. Translated, the night of power is better than 1,000 months. So Qadira is power, insight is power. But if you don't have guidance of God, that power will destroy you. You will use it for wrong end, and you will blow your head up, and you will be destroyed. Bombs remake sensory, academic, spiritual. So the earlier teachings in the Nation of Islam about the mother plane were small planes that would drop three bombs that would go down into the earth, explode, and make a mountain high. And right now, it's only a sensory environment. Send down another, now it is an academic environment. Send down another, now it's a spiritual environment. Then after a while, the atmosphere is poisoned. What poison then? shortage in gravity that would cut you off from that altogether. So you don't care about that anymore. The sister heard the sister with her long dress out doing tricks on the corner. The brother selling dope. Brothers sticking up banks. A goon squad oppressing people so they can have money coming in from newspaper quotas, etc., right? A shortage in gravity poisoned the atmosphere. Khadija camel mounted Moses. The Quran Surah 88, Ayat 17 to 18, observed the camel, sky, mountain. Genesis 31:34, camel, fortunate. Genesis 24:61, Rebecca on the camel. Genesis 32:15, camel, quote, ball. Khadija name means precious. Khadija, may God's favor be on her, the wife of the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Her name means precious or developed before the expected time for it to be. I named my daughter with the permission of her mother, Bakira. And it means the same thing as Khadija, arriving before the time expected, an early arrival, the expected time for a child to be born in 9 months. So if the if it comes in the eighth month, then some parents will name their child Khadija. If it is a female, Khadija also means a young camel coming before the expected time. The mountain is symbolic of ascension for the intellect. Moses went to the mountain to understand the spiritual logic. Camel has meaning in the Quran, it says. See the camel, how they are shaped, and the mountains, how they are raised up. So this is where camel and mountains are compared. Mountain is symbolic of the ascension for the intelligent, the rational mind, going up, maturing, and graduating. So Moses went up into the mountain for what? He went up there to understand better the three that God showed him how to perceive better. God taught, showed him the logic, had him understand the spiritual logic. He received the Ten Commandments or the revelation from God. And he came down and gave them to his people. When he came down, he had what he needed to order the life. He ordered the society for his people. So if you don't know the story, I'm giving it to you now. Liberation is organizing people for the good life in society. So freedom is to be seen in a community context. So he ordered the life for all of his people. He put all the professional people in order, the doctors he had, them organized, the musicians, the politicians worked together. He organized all the professional people. So he was a liberator for his people. So we go back to the meaning of liberation according to God's revelation. Revelating people means to organize them in the right way to have a good life in society. So it is not talking about any one particular freedom. One particular freedom, if you just hold on to one, it can get you killed. Because freedom has to be freedom in a community context. Your freedom can't hurt the community. If it does, it should be outlawed. It should be illegal. These terms are very important. Camel represents ascension, foresight, insight, and great vision. So the camel is ascension too. So you ride this camel, you get on top of it. I'm a student of scripture, not because I chose to be, but because God obviously wanted me to be. And I studied the Bible too. And in it, there is a figure who succeeds in overcoming his problems and getting right with God. And then he goes with his group, his family, to the people who followed him on the journey to the place that God wanted him to go to. The Bible says he went, and he had camels in the forefront, horses and donkeys were in the rear. So what is that saying? That he preferred camels over horses and horses over donkeys. So you might not know it, but camels are also fast runners. And because they are so big, they can outrun a horse. And a horse can't run in the desert. His feet are not made for the desert. He will go slow in the desert. Sand will mess him up. The camel's foot is made to open up and spread and go softly on the sand, and he can really walk and move on the sand. Desert symbolic of the of absence of knowledge. So the culture is knowledge established in certain order. So what the desert is symbolic of is the absence of knowledge in that environment or in the absence of the culture. So what is culture? Knowledge established in certain order, knowledge taking certain patterns and forming certain orders. The desert is symbolic of the absence of knowledge and the culture and the life for the support of society, and the camel can go very well in that area. So what is the camel? The camel is foresight, insight, and great vision. The camel can see a long way. The camel is insight. The camel can find water when nothing else can on the desert. So his humps are filled with water. His humps are water. That is where the water storage is. And it is symbolic of great knowledge and elevated, spirituality. And two humps are better than one. Two humps mean you have it in both worlds. The camel is a great figure for enlightenment. So he had the camel in the front of the caravan. Who was riding that camel? Rachel was riding the camel. Who is Rachel? Rachel is the one who has the bird feathers given by God. The bird can't fly without feathers. It can't lift itself off the ground without feathers. She represents revealed spiritual light that lifts us up, that lifts us off the ground and enables her to travel spiritually, even fly over the mountains. So Rachel was leading the caravan, and it said he entrusted to Rachel the treasure. She carried the treasure chest. The Quran Surah 45, ayat 3 to 5, sign in the sky, earth, and yourself. So God wants us to look at the whole life that he created, plants, animals, and yourself. God says there are signs in the heavens and there are signs in the earth and also signs in you. So look at everything for signs of God so that you read the message of God in the natural created world and benefit from it. The Quran Surah 88, Ayat 22, Prophet not warden over your affairs. 1 King 4:25, each man under its own vine and fig tree. So in the Quran, a verse says, have not been sent as warden over your affairs or a manager of your affairs. You have to be responsible for yourself. It says the obligation on you is only to deliver the message plain and clearly. And this religion is all about helping us to take charge of the human life God created for us. And you just can't accept to have charge for just your personal life because your personal life is going to interact with other lives, and your personal life is going to engage itself in the market square or with the government or whatever, or be responsible for the traffic laws, etc. So the Quran, Surah 89, Ayah 22, angels will come in clouds. Luke 21:27, Son of Man will come in clouds. So the book says that Son of Man will come in the clouds of the heavens. It didn't say he will come in clear skies. Cloud of the heavens means that the thing that you look for as the, at the heavens will be hidden from your view by clouds. And the speaker or the man who will come to bring you to that understanding will come in those clouds. So what does that mean? It means that he will address the clouds in the religious world, the confusion in the religious world. Now, he's easy to just ignore. Now, it's easy to just ignore that confusion. Just say, well, the hell with what the parting of the Red Sea meant. Forget about what the cow and all of these confused ideas, concepts, and religion. So the book says that the sun shine out of the west, even unto the west. Pardon me. The book says, as the sun shine out of the east, even unto the west, so will, so shall the coming of Son of Man be. So we know the sun first appears in the east, and then its light moves toward the west. Is that right? As it rises, the light moves from east to west. And soon it is high enough, the light gets all over the way, all the way, from the eastern horizon to the western horizon. And we don't see a break in it. So this is how the book says the truth is, truth in religion will come. Understanding in religion will come in this way. Eyesight comes gradually, like mental insight. So God gradually opened our eyes. The natural way. He gradually opens our eyes. He doesn't do it all of a sudden, and we see everything. And there was a natural expression that is God, a lesson designed in your own nature, that it shouldn't happen that way. A person who stays in the dark for one day has to gradually come out into the light. He may just open his eyes slowly. But the person who stays in the dark for a year, he has to move out physically into the light slowly. 1 year in the dark, and it will take you a long time to adjust your eyes to the light. If suddenly the light hits your eyes, it will blind you. Well, the further you are from truth, the more patient you should be with the coming of light. Some of us want our eyeball to be right on the sun. The Quran, Surah 89:27-30. Pleasure to self comes from pleasing God, soul pleasing God himself. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayat 89, bring to Allah a pure heart. So for all of this to grow and grow with force and be stable and constant, people, we must sacrifice our own pleasures for the sake of pleasing Allah. That's the only guarantee for really pleasing yourself. It is in sacrificing your pleasures to please Allah. So when you do that, the pleasures come to you. So this is an evil, no immoral thing or intention that is troubling your life that can be removed with just this one instruction. Put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above yourself and everything else. All of the corruption, the evil, the jealousy, the envy will go out of your life. So this is the key. But we can't get ahead if we envy each other. If we have no just cause to deny the person the station that they are on or that they earned, except that we want it for ourselves. We can't get anywhere like that. We have to become people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's goodness. And wherever goodness goes, we are happy to see it go. If it is going up to a better place, we cheer goodness on to higher and better places. The corruption, lies, selfishness, we hate to see that go up. But let us cheer the goodness on, whether it be us or anybody else, whether it be an African-American or a Sudanese or a Nigerian, or whether it be a Syrian or a Caucasian or a hunky from the South. If he's good, cheer him on. Tell him, come on, man, and we will truly be successful. Success be our pure heart, bring to Allah a pure heart. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us on and on and on and strengthen our faith and cleanse our faith, perfect our faith, give our hearts totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the end, dear people, the same thing that gave birth to the intelligence that is influencing healthy growth of the intelligence will be needed to save the intelligence. And believe it or not, the thing that gave healthy growth to the intelligent that also saved the intelligent. So when the intelligent goes corrupt, it is pure, it is a pure heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to come to him with a pure heart. That's salvation. I hope you understand. Prayer studs your heart above brain. So when you put your forehead on the rug to make sajda, tell me which is higher, the brain or the heart. The heart is above the brain in our most submissive position. The brain is down and the heart is above the brain. It tells us that if we want to submit to God, you have to put your heart above your intelligence. Oh Allah, bless us with perfect faith. Save us from the temptation of this corrupt society. Make us love our al-Islam. Make us love Muslim life. Make us love the pure Muslim brothers and sisters. Make us decent, strong parents, decent community people. Make us a light in this troubled African-American society for a rebirth of a people who have long been dead. Ameen. The Quran, Surah 89, Ayah 27 to 28, pleasing Allah and self. So the greatest pleasure is pleasing. The greatest pleasure is the pleasure in knowing that you are responsible to your Creator and that you are doing something credible in the eyes of your Creator. That is the greatest pleasure. Dear beloved people, pain and pleasure are the first governors of our lives. I repeat, pain and pleasure are the first governors in our lives. So when the new life is born, it is born here out of great travel, great pain, great suffering. Hudanis, ancient Greeks and Legion. So the Greek people, as we know, once had great civilization, but something happened. They created so much material comfort that leisure became a factor in their life, and since their minds had already fastened to the full on the sciences, denied on the environment, they had grown old and had left that stage of youthful curiosity that wasn't serious anymore. So they were vulnerable and they were open to the influences. So leisure time recreation. Now, leisure sometimes works in a people's advantage as well as to their disadvantage. So when the mind is alive, leisure works to your advantage. Because at that time, the mind is like the mind of an infant or a little baby. The mind is very curious. So the mind is very excited in the environment. His intelligence is alive and hungry, and he is using that leisure time to recreate himself. So what we call reaction today once was recreation. how pleasure operates in our life. Sleeping is natural. Sleeping is going to revitalize your metabolism, right? But look, you go to it liking it. No one wants to face death. But we can all die at night because we know it's not permanent. So we go to sleep and go on to feel good. So even discharging waste matter, if you recall or if you give it a thought, there is a pleasure involved. Why? Because that is a function that is vital for the support of your total life. The Quran, Surah 89, Ayah 27 to 30. Soul at rest, enter my garden. Bukhari, page 2, 250, allow footsteps ahead. So the relationship between the heart and the brain. So if you have something worthy of being respected as supreme, then address the master in the house. Let the master reply to your message. Reply to your message. Don't bypass my intelligence and say we want your heart to respond. Yes, my heart will respond, but my heart do not like to respond unless it is accompanied by its master. My heart is ready to respond to good things, to decent things, to right things. But my heart doesn't like to go first. My heart says, are you awake, master, in the light tower? And if the heart gets no reply up there, then the heart will feel its way. But the heart is feeling its way with the original intelligence that is inherent from Adam. So the heart will say, well, the master who was born on October the 30th, 1933, on a Monday, has gone to sleep. And I'm confronted with a situation. I have to have light. The heart says that he's asking me to judge this message of the baby of Bethlehem. And the lighthouse is not on because the baby was born October the 30th, 1933, is going to sleep. So I have to now go back to my inherent nature and consult with my first master. I have to consult Adam. The heart says, what is this now? What is this? It doesn't strike me as being right. The heart is capable of intelligent speech. This is not Reverend Woodhart. This is not Reverend Fishhart. This is not Bo Diddley's heart. This is the heart of the Adam speaking, and it says it wants understanding. Haven't you heard the expression, they say, foolish heart? Do you recall the song, My Foolish Heart? That implies that some hearts are not foolish. So the heart is capable of responding intelligently, but the same heart are foolish. Why? They are tricked. They are deceived. They are hoodwinked. They are influenced out of their normal responses. So the heart is not an ignorant piece of flesh. The heart is an intelligent piece of flesh. It doesn't have to have book knowledge. It doesn't have to go to college. The only thing it has to do is stay real, stay natural. And that heart can deal intelligently with matter. It can't compute calculus. It can't plan the direction for us to construct the building. But it can tell us when somebody is coming right and when they're not. It can tell us when we are about to throw ourselves in trouble. It has that kind of intelligence, alert in it to protect the human being from bad decisions. So the heart is capable of intelligence. Heart is in the seat of human intelligence. So the message of the Quran is respected at the heart. And it says what? Never did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the condition of a people until they first changed the attitude of their heart. So what is that telling us? That the heart is the seat of human intelligence. The brain developed thereafter. And when the brain get in trouble, then the heart must go back to its original orientation as a responsive organ for intelligent life, preservation, sensing with sincerity, with purity of intention, what is best for the life of the creature and for society. If our hearts are not right, the brain cannot come to life. But once the brain comes to life, then the heart steps back. The heart takes a back seat and trusts the brain to chart the safe course through the neighborhood or through the situation. And only when the brain runs into difficulty and says, I can't handle this situation, the heart comes up and says, my husband has been knocked out. I have to consult the knowledge that God has taught unto me from the beginning. I have to consult with my innate intelligence. I have to rise from my ancient seat of authority. I have to ignore the world. And I have to think with surety that God gave me until my husband wakes up. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? The book, When Man Dies, He Hopes for Another Life, if he's a faithful believer in his Lord. He hopes that he will get a meeting with his Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O soul at rest, come back to your Lord. Enter you my paradise amongst my bondsmen, my servants. But look at the call. If I say to man, to Allah, if I say to the female, come, I say to Allah. If I say to the male, I say ijji. If I say to the female sex, I say ijji. The heart gets into paradise, not the brain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the heart. Your brain won't get into paradise. Your heart must get into paradise. So heart leads the brain in prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Muhammad a heart that he can follow. I can follow this heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for me. So my brain does not lead my heart in prayer. My heart leads my brain. And my heart says, come to prayer. So Bilal footsteps ahead represent heart in prayer. I say, who is that? Say, you don't know? I say, is that Bilal? My heart says, come to prayer. I say, who is that? How can it be Bilal? It says, this is Bilal. Come to prayer. And my heart says, come to success. I say, who is that? My heart says, this is Bilal. I say, what Bilal? May God be pleased with him. He passed a long time ago. My heart says, come to success. And I say, what? Is this really Bilal? My heart says, look, accept that I am Bilal. I say, oh, are you there, the same Bilal? My heart says, I go in front of you like I went in front of the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. I said, what, are you the same that went in front of the prophet, the same creation, but not the same person? I said, oh, these things are wonderful to behold. Speak to me some more, please. And my heart says, Fakama to Salat. Fakama to Salat. Stand for prayer. And I take over in the lighthouse. But who sent me to my post? Who put me on my post? Bilal called me to my post. And I took my post, and Bilal kept quiet. God led him to his duty. Let's see how wonderful you can carry it out. And the brain concentrating on the revelation of God, recites the revelation. And the heart rises over now, every now, and then, and plays it respects to accomplishment of the brain. And the heart says, Alhamdulillah. The brain says, Alhamdulillah. And the heart says, oh, pretty good. But in the second rak'ah, let's make it better. I'm so proud of you. The Quran, Surah 90, Ayah 2, you free man in the city. Freedom doesn't mean not having a chain on you. If so, we were free in 1865. Freedom means more than that. To some of us, freedom means having a car, a big hat, fancy shoes, clothing, eating yourself full. That's not what Frederick Douglass, Marcus Garvey, Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, concept of freedom. A bird in a cage has that freedom. It is well fed, then better than the baby. If that's all you want, you don't belong to the freedom movement of your ancestors. They want a total freedom. And in order to have that kind of dignity, you must have more than bread on the table, clothes on your back, car and shelter over your head. That is only the aspirations of the ordinary animal. A caged, enslaved, domestic animal asks for that. A free animal wants more than that. He wants his own domain, dignity in his own house, leadership on court, execute his own authority. Humans is a free soul to find the path of enlightenment. The human is a free soul to find the path of enlightenment to make a contribution to the improvement to the world. There are levels of hope, aspirations. If you true human, you won't be satisfied with shakable, uncertain conditions in America. The Irish have traditions, Irish mind. Their children are being fed Irish mind. The Italian have Italian mind traditions, so it goes to the Spanish, Indians, etc. So we want to be part of the forces that dictate, design what tomorrow will be. I have to have an independent vision and my own way of looking at life in the world. Life in the world. I want to be part of forces that dictate, design what tomorrow will be. I have to have an independent vision and my own way of looking at life in the world. Life is dangerous. You don't make it safer by being a coward. I fear only the moment you start to be afraid, then you are in danger. A people without hope are finished, not individual hope, collective hope. We have to establish collective hope of the people. Then we have to encourage everybody to identify in that collective hope. So the media won't throw half of the community after Superfly values and another half after Sissy values, another after Brute values. If we don't have something to unify our aspirations, then our aspirations can be taken up by any forces. The religion gives gravity to spirit. Can you see the importance of seeing yourself as a spiritual entity? Religion is important because it gives that central part of gravity. It gives gravity to the spirituality of the human. And it brings the windy nature to some kind of form, discipline, so that the forces of the world won't take it away. They know by studying our biological or physiological nature how to work with conscience to influence the conscience. They have learned that habit can take over mind and conscious, and all they have to do is give us habit for a long enough time, and that habit will dominate and put out the light of intelligence. The habit will rule where intelligence wants to rule. So they give us habits to condition our minds to accept more and more immorality. So the animal instinct protects it. I want you to see how they use science to reach you through the biologics and bring your mind down to the lowest primitive level. They can reduce the human mind lower than the mind of the brute beast, because it's not in the brute, and it's not in the beast's intelligence to follow discipline outside of the extensive mold that he has been put in by God. The beast has been put in an extensive mold by God, and you can't bring him out of that instinctive mode except by criminal alteration. And while he is outside of it, he is outside of his own conscience. So he's just like a dead thing. And pretty soon he dies. He tries to mate with another one. He probably can pass on his on to this cell perversion. This mutated cell may be passed on in a sexual intercourse. But that beast that you do that to, he's finished. He's finished. But you can do it to a human being, and they stay alive. Not only passes on his mutant gene to the other generation, but also carrying this on the feed it to the society and make the whole living society become like him, you see? So because he's able to follow it and carry it on, whereas the beast that you manipulate behavior through chemical changes, you destroy that beast. And the other beasts, they don't learn from him. They will run away from that crazy beast, because God has put their intelligence in a mold. They can't come out of it. They see some beasts come along doing some crazy, crazy things. They aren't going to copy him. Freedom may cause trouble, but eventually leads to God. Nature eventually will overcome perversion. But somebody can walk in our masquerade on one leg with one toe touching every other step, leaning on an angle of 30 degrees, almost falling, you know. And if we let him go on and don't say anything to him, pretty soon one brother will copy him. After a while, there are five or six brothers copying him. Pretty soon here come a sister walking sideways. God has respected us so much. He has put so much trust in our nature that he made, that he allows us freedom to step outside of the mold that he cast in us, or us in, and do a deviant, a perverted, a freakish thing if we want to, because he has put into us such great obedience to him and such spiritual and moral conscience that he knows maybe 10 of them will do that, maybe 50, maybe 50,000, maybe 50 million, but the majority will one day rise up against the crazy pervert, and they will say no more of this, because God has put it in our nature to come back to the nature that he created us in. But look how we have to suffer in this hell, where everything perverted is fashionable. And true nature is a freak. Yes, they call us freaks. Y'all don't believe in streaking? Y'all don't believe in exchanging wives? Y'all don't believe in doing back-to-back or upside down? What do you people do for life? God, you don't have no fun at all. The Quran, Surah 90, pardon me, the Quran, Surah 91, the sun and its brightness. We will continue next week right here, inshallah. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Marat speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, too, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.